the unmistakable sound of the voice of Greg Lake with Carnival 9, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. And now, thank goodness, he's recovered, he's better, and he's on the line now. Good afternoon, Greg.
Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you've had a bit of a rough Christmas with the Lurgy, by the sound of it.
Yes, I did. Just before Christmas, I started a cold, you know. And of course, you always think they're only going to last a day or 2 days, you know. And this one, it lasted right over the Christmas. So I'm only just really recovering now.
Actually, there's quite a lot about, and it's not just a normal cold. It lasts for about a couple of weeks, doesn't
yeah,
it?
I'm not sure what you'd call it. It's certainly unpleasant. But I suppose one has to be thankful for small mercies, really, you know.
Talking about illness, I mean, as for a performer like yourself,
yes.
Have you ever come across situations where you've been too ill to perform?
I've cancelled twice in my life, only, I have to say, which is, you know, over a 40-year career and as many shows as I've played, it's quite remarkable when you look back on it.
That's a pretty good record.
It is, and I think there's something about the human body that when it needs to, it just resists all invasions, you know. Somehow your system knows, your immune system just knows that this is not the time to get sick, and I think there's an element of that. But the one time I did get struck down with was with tonsillitis, and it was just, there's an unbelievable story. I was up in I was stuck in my hotel bed in Italy, and I had this terrible sore throat. And the rest of the band went on to Rome to play a concert. And I was stuck in this hotel. And anyway, I was up on the 11th or 12th floor. And I could hear one morning, there was a huge noise. A crowd had gathered outside the front of the hotel. And I sort of stumbled out of bed and looked out of the window. And I could see this huge crowd assembling in the front of the hotel. And I said to the road manager, I said, there must be somebody famous arriving here, because there's a whole, you know, whole bunch of people. And he said, I'll go down and find out. So he went, got the elevator, went down to the, I got back into bed. Anyway, a few minutes later, they all come out, there's a knock at the door. In comes the road manager. He said, Greg, I've got the chief of police and the hotel manager with me. And I said, what do they want? And he said, there's a mob downstairs that are angry because the promoter won't give them their money back, and they're demanding to send their own doctor in to see you to validate that you are actually ill.
My goodness.
And they'd shut the hotel, they'd smashed the front windows of the hotel, they closed the hotel, they shut down the elevators, no one could come in or out, and eventually I had to have their doctor came up. And he inspected me, and of course I had tonsillitis, and that was it, and they dispersed. But that was, of course, Italy in those days, you know, when it was, you could expect to be tear gassed on almost every show you played, you know.
Quite frightening it could have been.
Yeah, no, it's just an unusual thing, funny in a way, now I recall the story, but not so funny, because they were really angry and determined. They couldn't get their money back, you know.
My goodness. So which band was this with, Greg?
This was with the LP.
With the LP. So how did Carl and Keith manage to continue without you?
They didn't. I think we were stuck in, I can't remember, I think I was ill in Milan, and so they decided to fly on to Rome.
Oh, I see.
Our next show was in Rome 3 days later, so they just went on and left me. Because otherwise they just stuck in Milan and they just wanted to get on with it. So, they just let me sit out in bed. It was fine. But, of course, they didn't know any of this was going on.
Blimey. Yeah. Amazing. And it's still stuck in your memory after all these years.
Well, it is. The strange thing is that something trivial, that's normally trivial, can affect 20, 30,000 people and their plans and, you know. So it's not a small thing, you know.
Of course not.
What starts out as something very trivial actually affects a tremendous amount of people's lives, and so there it is. But thankfully, anyway, it doesn't happen too often, so...
So twice in 40 years, isn't
it?
Not a bad record at all, Greg.
No.
And I think you're right with what you say about the human body. When it comes to actually doing something like performing or something, you just it's mind over matter at times, isn't it?
Because there must have been a spiritual element in it. I'm sure too with these people who perform these great acts of bravery and sort of superhuman feats of strength, there is something that takes over that. You no longer really control your destiny. It's controlled by the spirit of the moment, you know.
That's it. It's incredible what the human body can endure, isn't it? And how it can react.
I mean, the athletic records continue to be broken all the time. I mean, where will it end? One has to ask oneself, how fast will people be able to do, you know, a mile? It'll just come down and down and down until I don't know what, you know.
It'll be a I can't imagine it coming down that much more, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Right, that's what they said in 1930.
Well, yes, very, very true indeed. So it's always changing.
Yep.
Greg, we talk every couple of years. We talked after your 2005 tour,
yes.
2007 just before Christmas, and now just after Christmas because of the health problems just recently. We're now in 2009. 10, and this looks a very exciting year for you. Not just for you, for Emerson, Lake and Palmer fans everywhere. Something rather special is going to be happening, isn't it?
Yes. Well, at the moment we've got one show booked in London in July, and it's the High Voltage Festival. We're headlining one of the days. We're actually headlining the festival. We're on the last day of 3 days, I believe it is.
And how did this all come about, Greg? I mean, have you been planning a reunion for a long while, or is it?
Well, we have, and we've been discussing it on and off. You know, Keith unfortunately had some hand problems, arm problems, really, which prevented us going out last year. But I think, you know, he's had some therapy and this and this, and so I think you know we're going to be able to deal with it. And you know, I think it's just a thing we all want to play, so that's it, really. We decided to go ahead and book this date and do it, you know.
Brilliant. Has it been hard to fit into your schedules? Because, I mean, Keith himself now lives in America, and he's got his own band over there that he's touring with. Carl Palmer's back with Asia doing a lot of work, and yourself, you know, you're a busy man. So has it been hard to find space to actually fit all this in?
No, it's not the space thing, really. I mean, I'm going out actually with Keith on tour. There's just two of us, and we're doing an intimate tour in April in the United States for just a two-man show. And so it's just a question of fitting these things in and knowing what you're doing in advance, really.
Right, it's great news. That's another one that we didn't know about. So,
no, I know.
That's nice. Thank you, Greg. Always nice to get it straight from the band.
Yes.
Lovely. So, I mean, how are you writing any new material?
Yeah, well, I write all the time. Funny enough, Keith and I have been writing for about 3-4 months now. And we're, you know, sooner or later, I think we'll probably put out a new album, either as just he and myself, or as ELP. We'll have to see how the writing develops, really. But I keep writing constantly.
Great.
It's just something I do.
Natural instinct.
I have periods when I'll get intense about it, and then I back away from it for a while. But generally, there's always stuff going on in my mind about songs.
And the reunion in London that's going to be taking place, I've read a few press releases there. I'm not sure if this is the correct story, but because it's a 40th anniversary, are you going to try and recreate the Isle of Wight feel to when you were at the Isle of Wight?
Well, it's not so much that we want to recreate the Isle of Wight as we want to try, I suppose the most honest way of putting it would be, we want to try and play the best of ELP, you know, including everything, you know, just everything the band is capable of doing and ever was capable of doing, trying to perform that one more time, really, for the fans. And you know, there'll be some surprises in it, and there will be some things you would have expected we would do, but overall I think it'll be a pretty dramatic show, yeah.
It sounds very, very exciting indeed, and I'm looking forward to it. I still want to be the one that says, welcome back, my friends.
Yes.
I asked you 2 years ago, I'll ask you again now. I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
But no, it's transgressed. Now, to get something together like this, I mean, you know, because, I mean, you've been apart for years, so how technically easy is it to get together, get all the equipment and all the stuff together for what will be at the moment one show, and you've got to have a chance to rehearse as well. So what's the time span and how's it all organised, Greg? Because it's not just an idea one day and do it the next, is it?
No. The planning for this has been going on for some while. The actual rehearsals will commence soon. I mean, you're quite right. It takes a long time to build up to a point where you can perform at that level in a credible way. This music was made when we were much, much younger, and you're right, it's going to take some doing. So, but I mean, we understand that, and so we're ready to give it what it needs, you know?
I mean, besides the band itself, I mean, what sort of organisation behind the scenes has had to get it all together to make this show possible?
It'll be a very large, it'll be a large affair, you know. Obviously, it's an outdoor event, which obviously is, immediately requires a lot more of everything to make it to work properly. But in the case of this particular show, there will be a lot of production as well. So, yes, it will be highly intense from a human resource point. You know, of course, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, ELP were really the pioneers of this large festival type show. We really do, you know, we really brought a lot of theatrics into to rock and roll, and I think that it is, there's part of that is part of that is ELP, that sort of dramatic spectacle element, and so I think it's something that people expect to see, and we certainly wouldn't want to disappoint anybody. But I mean, it's the music is the core of it. It's the production really is inspired from the music. And I think that's why people always liked an ELP show, is because the special effects were not just gratuitous, you know. They really were linked to the music, and so everything had a purpose. Everything was designed for a reason, and it felt good because it was linked to the music.
Oh, and it was a spectacular, wasn't it? It was a show. It wasn't just a concert. It was a spectacular show. That was the impression that I've always got. You come away from that and you think, wow, absolutely brilliant.
I think my recollection of it is that people most of the time were pretty stunned at the end of a show.
Yeah,
they walked out stunned, literally stunned, and that took a lot of doing. It was something, it took years actually to develop it to that point, but at the very peak of ELP, when we were doing places like the California Jam, the band was on fire, literally on fire, you know, and it's quite something to try, and it's a real challenge to try and even emulate getting back to that sort of peak of performance, but it's intriguing, and it's a challenge that we welcome, really. It's fun. That was one of the great things about ELP. It always used to revel in challenges. We liked challenges.
And also, you liked the challenge, but you got a great buzz out of it as well, didn't you? Because the three of you on stage, I mean, I'm not saying, I should imagine most bands, you know, you have your ups and downs, but when you performed, you definitely performed well together, and it just took off.
There's a chemistry about ELP, and I suppose at the end of the day, what gives us pleasure is the gratification of seeing an audience that really loves the band. That you need no more than that, really. That's the reward. Everything else is a bonus, really. The, you know, the fame and the money or whatever else. It's that's a bonus. But the main thing, and always was the main thing, really, was the gratification you get when the audience cheers and you know you've done it. You know you've done it.
Oh, it's a wonderful feeling. That must be a great reward. It really must, because to have the sort of approval of the audience, I suppose you could call it that they have come to see you and they have enjoyed what you have done for them.
Yeah.
It must be incredible.
There's
feeling.
A certain sound that an audience makes when it's heartfelt, when they really are showing their appreciation and they've really loved what you've done. There's a certain moment when that comes across. By the same way that you can always tell if an artist is sincere and they're putting their heart into it, you know, we all know, you know. And so that sort of sincerity, it also comes back the other way from the audience to the artist. And that's really the moment of where it all pays off.
It must be a fantastic feeling for you, knowing that that's been achieved. Tell me, this venue in London is an open air venue. It's going to be a festival type of venue. Are you expecting a mixed age group? Are you expecting the loyal ELP age group to come along? What's your expectations of it?
I would expect that. Well, I suppose. There will be a hardcore of people who grew up with ELP, you know, who went through their 20s in the 1970s, you know. But I think the band has got a sort of this legendary feel about it, this iconic sort of feel where young people will also want to see it. I'm sure most young bands today will want to see what the legend of ELP was.
Oh, I hope that's right, yes.
And I think you'll see a lot of young musicians come along and see it just out of curiosity. Maybe they'll like it, maybe they won't, I don't know. But, I think they'll be interested.
I'm sure they will, Greg.
I mean, I get people now, I mean, you can see if you go on my website, you'll hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers talking about how they grew up on ELP, you know, how it fired their imagination. And that's the sort of... When you listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers today, it's not something you necessarily associate. But of course, all musicians are influenced and inspired by the musicians that went before them.
That's right. It's something that you always refer to, isn't it? That the musicians that you actually listen to in your youth and things like that, and that you create that you base yourself upon us in
right.
future years.
So, I mean, in answer to your question, I think it'll be a mixed audience, and I don't mind. You know, anybody who wants to hear the chemistry and the magic of ELP, they should come along and see it because. I think it'll be a different experience.
Is this going to be a one-off, Greg, or is there an opportunity maybe that ELP could possibly tour afterwards?
It's possible. I think the thing was, we want to do this show and just make sure everybody feels good about it and to make sure the audience enjoy it as well. And if that happens, then I'm sure there's every chance that there will be some more.
Well, I certainly hope so.
You're listening to Dennis Kay with Good Afternoon Grantham. 97.2
Gravity FM. It is indeed Gravity FM, and I'm very honoured to have Greg Lake, my guest on the programme, who's just recovered from, a rather rough Christmas with a bad voice.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
But you're better now, Greg, and you're in good voice today, I'm pleased to say. Greg, now, let's go to your website. I've followed you, obviously, the band ELP and your website, and you personally in concert, and you've just had a massive revamp of your website in the last few months, and I've got to be honest, I think it's absolutely brilliant, so interactive, and you've started to actually do web chats, haven't you?
Well, yes, the thing was that my old website was so long ago that since then my sort of feelings about websites have changed. Now, when websites were first coming through, I had really interpreted them as being something that was part information and part sort of entertainment. Now I view them as being part information and part communication.
Yes, they're very personal, aren't they now?
They're very personal, and I've got, so, you know, I've got things on my website which, as you say, are a live chat facility where I go on there and I talk with everybody. And we have, like, you know, I don't know how many thousand people in the room at the same time. It's quite unbelievable. I mean,
It actually amazed me, Greg. The first time I think that you did it,
yeah,
the response was so phenomenal that the servers crashed, didn't they?
The servers came down, yeah. But I mean, that was just we just had no idea of the volume of people that were going to get on. But I mean, the second time we were ready for it, and it's just wonderful to hear. You know, on the same page, you've got people from Moscow, people from Australia, Japan, Budapest, you know.
And Grantham in Lincolnshire.
Yeah, Grantham in Lincolnshire, that's right. and that's the wonderful thing. And so this ability to communicate directly with fans is something quite new, really. And I love it. I think it's great. And there's something about the fact also of having a long career where, you know, records, various records have meant a lot to people in their lives. And so, you know, sometimes they need to tell you about that. They need you to know what that music meant to them. It's just a human need, I think. And that's why I love to be able to get on and for people to be able to tell me things. It's not just me telling the fans about, you know, my audience about, you know, ELP and why I wrote this song and this and this. But it's also great for me to listen to them and to hear what it meant to them. It is a two-way communication. So that's one of the great things about the new website, is it's a forum for two-way exchange, and that's the most thrilling thing. But apart from that, I've got a museum on the site of all the artifacts that various people have kindly donated. There's an online museum. It's fantastic. It's just got everything from all periods over the last 50 years, from my going right back from to my childhood, really, up to the current day. And there's also a thing on the website called Were You There, where anybody that ever saw me in any one of the bands, King Crimson, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Emerson, Lake and Powell, any of the shows that were ever done, all the shows are there. And if you went to one of them, you can find the exact show you went to. You could leave your memory of it, or what it did in your life, or how it affected your life. And it's just a huge vault of memories that people have shared with me and my music over my lifetime. So it's quite a fantastic sort of throbbing memory vault, as it were. Very interesting. And of course, you've got the normal things on the website, like, you know, discographies and announcements about live shows and so forth. So yes, but it is an exciting website, and I'm really proud of it. And the people who designed it are absolute stars. They come up with a brilliant looking site, I think.
It is. It's very impressive indeed, Greg. And to let people know, it's www.greglake.com. Quite simple and easy to find, and so informative. Are you planning any more web chats? Is this still going to carry on?
Yes, I'm going to do more, because for the very reason I said, I enjoyed doing them.
It's great. It's a good atmosphere, and
it is, actually. It's a very party. It's a sort of party atmosphere. You can almost feel the when you go into those things, you've been into it, and you can almost feel the presence of all those people.
That's right, yeah.
Very strange. And yet, you know, on screen, you're only looking at maybe a dozen questions at a time, but you can definitely feel the hubbub of thousands of people being connected into that one moment, you know.
It's very interactive, and it really is a sign of the times, but it's a nice sign of the times, because you can actually, I mean, years ago, people like yourself, and let's be quite honest, you were classed as rock gods, and people like the likes of me and the general public never had the opportunity to be able to talk to people like yourself and converse with you. And now,
well, you know, the thing is, that was often said, but only because there wasn't the means.
That's right, yeah.
You know, most times if you, you know, if you go up to someone and you meet them in the street or something, you bump into Robert Plant, you'll find he's the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And we'll talk to you all day, happy to talk to you. The thing is there was this perception of becoming sort of untouchable, but I think it was more to do with the fact that there you are up on a stage, the audience sits in their seats in the theatre, you perform the show, boom, you're gone, you know.
That was it. There wasn't the opportunity as there is nowadays with the internet.
No, that's right.
You mentioned music. I've got a question that's just come in from one of our listeners here in Grantham. It's a guy called Rob in Colsterworth, a village just outside of Grantham. Now, Rob's very much into his progressive music, and he said it would be a big thrill if I could ask one of his prog rock heroes, Greg Lake, the following question. He says, what is your opinion of the likes of bands like, now, I've got to be honest, I'm not into much of these bands as much. Maybe you are, Greg, I don't know. Bands like IQ and Arena, Marillion, and is it Magneta? Do you know any of that? I mean, obviously we all know Marillion.
I know the names more than I'm familiar with the music, but what I would just say is, yeah, generally speaking, I respect all forms of music. You know, no matter what the style is good music is good music. Music which is performed with sincerity and respect,
sure,
is good music, regardless of the style. But specifically with respect to progressive music, I think there's a special place in my heart for music which strives to be different. You know, the emphasis, certainly over the past decade or two decades, has not been on originality. It's just another version of the same thing you heard before. You know, there is very little to make you sit up and think, wow, I've never heard that before. That's something really different. You know, and there's far too, I'm not saying there's none of it, but there's far too little original music, or people striving to be original, and I think that's the heart of progressive music. So I applaud anyone, any young band that's got the courage to go out there and make a statement and try and step out of the normal comfort zone. Then I think that's a terrific thing, because I think that's going to open up a doorway for new possibilities, and it probably will be the very thing that forges a new path in music recording, in intellectual copyright, in live performance. It always is the songwriting which is at the heart of any new musical movement.
Sure. I mean, these bands that Robin Colsterworth has mentioned, one I did mispronounce just now, it's Magenta, that's the name of the band. But
yeah.
What he's saying, basically what Rob is saying, is that that their music is inspired by the heyday of prog rock.
Yes.
Even though they're here, they're modern bands today, prog rock was their inspiration.
Mm.
And I think, as you say, prog rock was so inspiring, rather than being run of the mill.
Of it was.
Yeah.
You know, like all forms of music, it becomes bastardized and people jump on the bandwagon. And, you know, I mean, it's the same with any form of music. You will get the imposters.
Of course, yeah.
But you know, and that's not, I'm not talking from any sort of highbrow or sort of high and mighty state. But it is just, if you're sincere about what you do, and if you're playing music from the heart, then I think it's worth
course, I totally agree. Anybody who has the pluck and courage to go and try to perform, not just perform live, but to actually put it together and be serious enough to have a go, they deserve at least a little bit of recognition to start with. We're going to go back in time a little bit now, Greg. I won't keep you much longer because I know you're still not too well, but we talked about styles of music, stuff like that. And I'm going to play a track now. It was more of a bit of fun, I gather, on your Tarkus album when you did a little bit of rock and roll and dedicated it to a recording engineer. And we'll play that now, then we'll come back to you and finish off the interview.
Okay.
And this one, of course, well, I'll let you tell the story about it in a few moments' time. It's about Eddie Offutt, and it's called Are You Ready, Eddie?
Are you ready, Eddie?
Interesting guests, fascinating facts, and great music.
It's very funny. But people often, in fact, invariably talk about ELP in terms of quite highbrow. We often get accused of being pretentious or, playing classical music and all this. But of course, at the heart of all three of us is rock music.
That's right, and that sounded like
musicians.
Fun.
And to be truthful with you, ELP can really rock.
Yeah.
I mean, when ELP rocks, you can consider that rock and roll because, it's powerful stuff. And we don't play that much rock and roll because so many other people play it, And so we always try to play something, something new, something different. But now and again, we would slip into things just for the joy of it. And that was one of those moments where we'd made this album and of intense, complex, complicated music. And it was just one moment to just forget all of that and just rock.
Just let your hair down, yeah.
It was great. And funny when you hear the lyric referring to switch your 16 tracks on.
Oh, yes.
16-track recorders, and that's... was made, of course, on
reel-to-reel,
16-track reel-to-reel.
No digital age there.
And the lady at the end walked into the recording room. That actually happened while we were playing. She walked in, because Eddie must have forgotten to turn the red light on, and she walked in. She'd been going to get sandwiches, and she came back and she said, "They've only got ham or cheese." That was her at the end of the recording, walked right in on the record.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. It sounds as though it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
That's what it epitomises to me. You were really letting your hair down, you're having a great time.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And Eddie Offord, obviously, was the actual recording engineer on the day, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah.
On that album.
A great engineer he was, too. Is, probably. Yeah. I haven't seen Eddie for many, many years, but he was a terrific guy. I mean, very painstaking. He would go, you know, he was one of the people, actually, I have to say now, that really was instrumental in that whole idea of things being different. He was prepared to go to, you know, hell and beyond to try and get new sounds, new results, you know. And so we were sort of a team then, you know.
Sounds brilliant. Sounds absolutely fantastic. And let's hope that in July the team, well, I say the team, the crew all get back together. Will you be using a lot of people that you've worked with in the past, Greg, for the team, for the crew?
Certainly some of them will be people we've worked with for many years, but a lot of new people as well.
Time moves on, I suppose, and you have to
well,
see.
The thing is, some of these things that we're going to do are going to be on a bigger scale than we've ever done them.
Oh, this sounds nice.
So, it does involve other skills than the ones we would have, you know, applied with in the past. But, sure, some of the people that we've used back on the old tours will still be with us.
Ah, we look forward to it all, Greg.
Because really, that is part of the heart of a band, you know. It's a bit like a pirate ship. You have all these people on it who understand who you are and what you're trying to do. And they become part of it, really.
It's team spirit, isn't it, really?
Yeah, very much it is, yes.
It sounds brilliant. Greg, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. And hopefully it won't be 2 years before we talk again. And hopefully the success of your concert, or your concerts, your tour with Keith in April, and also the July live open air concert is going to bring a lot of fans together, and hopefully it won't be the only one. We'll see you performing more regularly, both in this country and around the world.
Dennis, it's been a real pleasure. Nice to talk to you again, man.
It is. It's fantastic talking to you. And don't leave it too long this time,
Greg.
No. Keep healthy. That's the main thing.
That's
Keep healthy.
Absolutely right.
Greg, I look forward to chatting to you again soon. Maybe before or after the live concert to let us know how it all felt and how
sure,
it went.
Sure, always happy to talk to you, Dennis.
That would be
happy.
Brilliant, and we'll be in touch soon. Greg Late, it's been an honour again talking to you, and I wish you good health and a happy and prosperous 2010.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Greg. Bye-bye.